If you have your Bibles, if you don't have the handout there, you need your Bibles there, Luke chapter 15. I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach. I love our church, and I love the direction of our church. And I feel, and I don't say this just because I'm on staff, I feel this is the best church in the world. And there's great days ahead of us, and God is planning something great. And I thank God under Pastor Meyer's leadership, we can get there. And by the way, be behind the vision. I don't know if you understand this, but vision will cost. And vision will take sacrifice. And this is not somebody else's church. This is our church. And we need to get behind the vision. You know, growing up, being a father, I love my children. I have four of them, and all four of them are different. Some of them are more sensitive than others. Some of them I can mess around with. Some of them, if I say something to them, they get kind of hurt. Some of them I can rag on them, and like nothing. But one thing about all my children that are the same is they cost money. They cost money. And by the way, I don't mind because I love them. And I'll spend money on them. And I'll do things. And we'll take trips. And we'll go eat. And, you know, I want to make sure they have clothes. And I buy clothes. I buy socks for them and shoes and stuff like that. They cost money. Because anything alive, anything that's growing, anything that's going somewhere, anything that you love, you will spend money on. Amen. And this church is going somewhere. I hope on May 20th, that we do our best. That it's just not another time, oh, it's giving time again. It's just another time. Let me just, you know, get something. I really want to ask you, church, pray. You say, we've been doing this for a long time. More time for God to bless. Because when we get to the point where we don't put anything in the church, that's when the church is dead. And as long as our church is growing, we're going to have some kind of project. We're going to do something. Well, I'm tired. This world's not our home. If we're living for today and there's no heaven, yeah, I'm going to go get myself a boat. I'm going to go get myself a bigger house. I'll get myself a bigger car. I'll wear better clothes and I'll save more and everything like that. But this place is not our own.
That's right.
Let's do our best to build God's kingdom. You know, if I were to ask every one of you personally, are you excited about giving? Some of us would say, the truth of the matter is, some of us, amen. And then some of us, man, I want to give, but I just can't afford it. And by the way, that's a true statement. And many times we cannot afford giving, and I'm not talking about tithing here. That's a non-negotiable. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm talking about giving over and above your tithe. And all of us want to give. I believe all of us have a generous heart. But the truth of the matter is we can't give over and above what God wants us to give or requires us to give, not because we're stingy, not because we're misers, not because, you know, we just want. No, because maybe we're not capable of giving. And let me say this. Sometimes we're not capable of giving because that's just how it is. But sometimes we're not capable of giving because it's self-inflicted, because we're not wise with our finances. You see, God speaks about money, the subject of money, more than he does the subject of heaven. He speaks about money more than the subject of hell, because the Bible says this, where your heart is, there where your treasure be also. I'm sorry, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
See, our heart and our wallet is connected to each other. And I pray, I hope that as Christians, we become wise stewards. And when we talk about stewards, we think about money, but just every part of our life, we need to be a wise steward. See, the web of credit card debt has entangled many people, Christians and non-Christians alike. I mean, according to the latest report, the average American household has a debt. This is not talking about a house debt. This is not talking about mortgage. This is not talking about a car debt. This is not talking about student loans or anything like that. This is just talking about credit card debt, over 16,000. The average American is in debt. You don't understand this. 16,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's not because sometimes as Christians, and by the way, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean, you know, oh, God's going to help me because of my irresponsibility. No, God's not going to help you. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also what? If we're unwise with our money, we're going to get into this web of credit card debt and this mess. And when God calls us, by the way, young people, let me say this. College kids, be careful about your money. Some of you, God's going to want to call you into the mission field. Some of you, God's going to want to call you to preach. And then all of a sudden, here am I, send me. And then we can't go because we're in debt up to our ears. And it's hard. By the way, if you're not faithful in that which is little, God's not going to give you much. Debt is killing our country, and debt is killing our Christian homes. Christians, as I said, are just as guilty as non-Christians. Some of us, we think, oh, we have the grace of God. Jesus paid it all. Yes, he did pay it all. But he didn't pay your debt as far as monetarily. Oh, he saved us. We're going to heaven. Everything's all right in my Father's house. When we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, that's true. But on this earth, you're going to have a lot of worries. Your marriage is going to suffer because of irresponsibility in finances. I counsel, some pre-marriage counseling, and we always tell our people getting married. One of the pitfalls of a marriage is finances. And people fight because they say, that's carnal. It is what it is. So today I'm just going to give you a couple points in. The ABCs of financial freedom. The ABCs of financial freedom. Number one, real fast, acknowledge the situation. If you are in a mess, in a hole financially, don't hide it. Like, you know, I'm not. You know, it's just like the guy that's overweight. I'm not overweight. I still look good. Just acknowledge it. Say, hey, I have a problem. I have a problem, and I need to get help. By the way, both husband and wife must realize the problem. Sometimes the wife realizes the problem. The husband said, don't worry, we're all right. And the wife sees the bill, and she gets the calls, and she's stressing out. By the way, man, let me say this. Don't be oblivious. If you have a problem, acknowledge it. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? The prodigal son here, all of a sudden, the light came on. He says, man, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the light needs to go on. If you can't pay your bills, the light needs to go on. And say, there's something wrong. If the creditors are calling you, by the way, if you're a Christian, that should not happen to you. So if you live by God's principles, if you do it right financially, no, you're not going to be rich. And just because you serve God, you're not going to have a lot. But let me say this. We ought to be responsible. The first step of getting out of debt is admitting to yourself, to your Savior, to your spouse, we're in trouble. We need to get help. By the way, if you've been doing the same thing that you've been doing, and you expect to get a different result, somebody said that's insanity. Oh, man, you know, we're just going to... No. If you've been in debt all this time, something's got to change. That means you need to stop kidding yourself and others and say, you know what? We need some help. We need to get some help. We need to get help. Getting out of debt will happen the same way you get into debt. You say how? A penny at a time. Amount of debt is only temporary if we acknowledge it and work diligently every day to say, I need to get this thing nipped in the bud. If you're in debt, just say, hey, I need some help. By the way, young people, let me say this. Start learning about finances now. I thank God our pastor, when I was a teenager, I sat there, he talked about budgeting. He talked about finances. He talked about serving God, the importance of having your finances right. Number two, real fast. Begin to tithe. By the way, you can't afford not to tithe. Malachi chapter 3, and you all know this verse. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You say, oh, I just can't afford to tithe right now. I'm just behind. You can't afford not to have God's blessing. Because God is going to bless you as you obey his word. Begin to tithe. Some people, I have to not tithe for a little bit of time. I'm going back to the ghetto part, a minute, you know. But according to God's word, if you don't tithe, you're cursed by robbing God. If you're in a financial, you cannot afford to tithe. I mean, you cannot afford not to tithe. Get in it. By the way, some of us, we think the tithe is like, okay, this is part of my budget. You know what I do? I don't even count my tithe. If I make $100 a month, my tithe would be $10, right? If my math is right, $100, my tithe is $10. You know how I do my budget? Not out of $100. I do my personal budget out of the $90 that I have left. The $10, I don't even tithe. You know, it's like, okay, the $10 there, I'll give, like, you know, if I have enough this month. No. We're going to have enough. God's going to get his. We don't say if there's enough, God will get. No. God's going to get his. If we don't have enough, maybe we don't go to McDonald's today. Maybe we'll just go to Costco. Okay, begin to tithe. Be faithful at tithing. Number next. We'll go home early today. Number next, cut up your credit cards. Use only cash whenever possible. Cut up the credit cards. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The next step is to cut up the credit cards and say, I'm not going to use this anymore. Oh, but I get cash back. I get points. You understand that cash back is not worth you being in debt all that time? You know, if you're in a credit card debt and you pay the minimum, it'll take you a gazillion years to pay it off. Is that even a word, a gazillion years?
Yeah.
Yes, right. Focus on just using cash, okay? If you can't control, your credit card, and you have to spend, you have that urge. Some people have that urge. You know, I need to, you know, slide, or now you put that chip in. Don't use it. I mean, now it's even easier, Brother Tim. Amazon, you just click a button. Don't use it. Carry cash around. Carry cash. You say, why? Because once the cash is done, it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
Focus on using just cash. It's not easy, but it'll help you get out of debt. By the way, if you're an impulse buyer, stay away from sales. Stay away from one-day deals. Stay away from Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Right now they have Spring Black Friday, or whatever Fridays that you have. Stay away from Fridays. As a matter of fact, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. That's how your week should be. Stay away from Fridays. If you have a temptation to spend, don't be around that. Don't go to the mall. My wife and I, we went shopping the other day. We walked at the mall, and we had the 30% Kohl's thing. Okay, I texted Hannah Myers. I said, hey, you got that 30% Kohl's thing? Text it to me. She texted to me. I went over there. I started buying. I needed some stuff. I bought it. And I looked at it. I said, how come it's more expensive than I calculated in my head? I said, hey, you didn't give me 30% off on some stuff. Oh, these are, they don't work on that. I said, take it out. I said, take it out. I don't need it. And by the way, I'm not going to spend something that I didn't go in there thinking I'm going to spend. You don't need it that much. But just get rid of the credit cards. Number next. Depend on God. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We need to pray. We need to read our Bible. We need to read books on stewardship. You need to beg God daily for wisdom in your finances to help you get out of debt. A vital step is in being debt-free is prayer. By the way, let me say this. Prayer works. Prayer works. I remember fishing. I love fishing. And I don't catch as many fish as some people, but I tell good stories about the time I catch fish. Somebody once said this. There was a T-shirt that says, I fish, therefore I lie. They had I was at Bass Pro Shop. They had another T-shirt that says, the more I tell the story, the bigger the fish gets. I love fishing. And sometimes I would go out here, And my children would come with me sometimes. Kristen was small, and I took her. We were at, it's called Mother's Beach over here. They have like a little pier. I don't know if you're supposed to fish on that pier, but I did anyways. And I'm fishing. And I'm hitting it hard. I mean, I'm going everywhere. I'm jigging it different ways. Nothing. Kristen, she was about 5 years old. She looked up, she said, "Dad, you never catch anything." Well, thank you, daughter. That's an encouragement. I said, "You know what? You're right." I said, "You think God will get us a fish?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Let's pray." And we bowed our heads and prayed and closed our eyes and said, "Lord, show Kristen that you're real. Show Kristen that you can give us a fish." After I prayed, I go, "Man, how about God doesn't do this?" She's going to be an atheist all her life. And we prayed. And sure enough, I said, "Okay, God's going to give us a fish." And I just threw it out there. I'm thinking of how can I explain to her if we don't catch a fish? Well, what am I going to say to her? You know, we'll go to the store and God gave us this fish, you know? And I threw it, a hit, did about 3 reels, and all of a sudden, my pole, when you fish, you like this sound, right? Right? You like that sound. And that thing just went. I'm going, "Kristen, we got a fish. And we're bringing it up. And it was a humongous spotted sea bass. It was a very nice spotted sea bass. And I took it. By the way, I take pictures of my fish. I don't just tell you. If you want to see, it's real. And we got that fish. And she looked and she said, "God answered our prayers." I said, "Yes, he did." I said, "Thank you, Lord, for showing my daughter and giving me a good time fishing also." But prayer is real. I could think of, I used to live on 7th Street. And the parking there is horrendous. It's bad. It is bad. I'd come to church on Thursday night and I'd drive, my wife and I. And on the way there, I'd pray, "God, please give me a parking spot. God, give me a parking spot, please." Sure enough, we lived there. How many years we lived there? 3-4 years. I don't think I ever did not find a parking spot out of all the times that we lived there. God answered just those little minute prayers. And by the way, the Bible says that God knows your every needs. Your every need, God knows. Why don't you go to him in prayer and say, "God, I'm in a mess. I want to get this right so I can be a better giver. I can be a better Christian. Help me to do this." Prayer is vital to seeing God take you out of debt. Prayer is not just something that super, you know, big spiritual people can do. It's for everybody. Prayer basically is asking. So number four, depend on God and pray and ask God. And believe in God. By the way, for your building giving, some of you, I think... as Christians, we depend on the flesh too much. "Well, I'm going to give my bonus." Well, that's good. That takes no faith. You knew that was coming. "Well, I'm going to give my tax return." Great. I'm not saying don't give that, but I'm saying that's a given. You know you're going to get that. Faith and prayer comes in where you say, "God, I don't know where this is going to come from, but God, I have faith in you that you will bring it in." And you pray. I went to school. I went to college. I had to work 3 jobs at one time for college to stay in school. Let me say this. God led me there, and where God guides, he'll provide. And if God guides you to give a certain amount, God's going to give it to you if you have faith and just keep praying, seeking God in that area. Number next, enumerate or list all your obligations. Do you know where your money goes every month? Some of us, we spend, and we don't know where it goes. By the way, if you don't know where it goes, look at your receipts. Look at your bank statements and see where your money goes. If somebody was to ask you where did your money go and you say, "I don't know," look at your receipts. Look at your checkbook. I don't know if you use a checkbook anymore. Your bank records, your bills, and list them all out. After listing everything and seeing where everything goes, evaluate if those things are needed and see what you can cut out. By the way, you have to have a plan and work that plan. Most things that we spend money on, literally, in reality, are just pleasure-based and pleasure-driven, not needs. Go through all your expenses to see if you can cut back on any area. Insurance, okay? We did this here at our church. Every couple of years, we'll go through all our expenses and see what can we cut back on. I don't know how many times I had to call our janitorial supply lady, and I said, hey, look, you need to make it cheaper for us here. We've been a customer for a long time. Give us a deal. And by the way, I do not mind. Some of us, yeah, man, I just don't. I do not mind asking for a discount. I do not mind. You know, I'm going to be on cheapskates on the TV thing. I do not mind at all if I'm doing it for the Lord. Because this is the Lord's money we're saving. And the more we save, the more we can use for ministry. But in your insurance, pay a higher deductible so your insurance can go lower. If they're getting older, instead of having full coverage, get a liability. Look for lower places to rent. By the way, let me say this: rent is expensive, but if you can cut back, cut back. Seek to reduce every expenditure if you're in debt by 10%. I think if you try your best, you're not going to have a Starbucks every time. You just won't. We went to a coffee tea leaf today. You say, why? I usually don't go there. You say, why did you go there? Every tea is a dollar. Right now, from 2 to closing is a dollar. I told my wife, I said, wait, I'm going to go big today. We're going to go to the coffee tea bean thing. We'll go get ourselves a tea. I said, the only tea that we can get is the one on the list right there. That's a dollar. All right, that's good. We're going to splurge. Seek to reduce every expenditure by 10%. 10% less on food. 10% less in gas, 10% less in utilities, 10% less on your phone bill. Try to save all that money. Be thrifty. Turn off lights, air conditioning, heating. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't think of it. I used to live with Brother Jerry. And he used to come and say, hey, you need to turn off the light. I'm like, why? I'm going to come back in here in a minute. Save money. And I just get upset. When he leaves, I just turn it back on. That's before I had to pay the light bill. Now I pay my own light bill. And I pay my own air conditioning bill. And I pay my own gas bill. And I pay all that stuff. Guess what I say? Kristen, turn up the light. Yeah. Waste money. You say, why you do that? Because now it hurts my own pocket. Try to cut back. Be thrifty. Everything that you cut back on, say, oh, I'm going to cut back on these things. I have more money to go do something. No, 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 no. You're missing the point. You cut back so you can put that money that you save into the debt. By the way, make sure you know what is a need and what is a want. If you're doing bad financially, cut out the cable. Seriously. Cut it off. Oh, I can't pay my school bill. I do not understand. If you can't pay your school bill and you have cable and you have, you know, you have all these luxuries, don't do that. You can't. Oh, I can't. Cut some things out. Anyhow, hit a stump there. Number 6, formulate a budget and submit to it. Formulate a budget and submit to it. The Bible says, Luke chapter 14, verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after that he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, and all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Set up a budget. This is the most important thing that you need to do. Live by a budget and submit to it. You'll be surprised. Listen to me. And I hate to ask, how many people in this room, you don't have to answer, but I would be kind of ashamed because the stats are pretty true, how many of you have a budget? You know, it's funny sometimes college students, we go out and they always have money to buy stuff. I'm thinking, where in the world you get all this money from, man? Buying new phones, buying new cars, buying, you know, whatever. Where in the world? Have a budget. Live by that budget. By the way, more money is not the answer. I'll get a raise. More money is not the answer. Better management of the money you have is the answer. By the way, in the home, put one person in charge of finances. My wife used to be in charge of the finances. And she said, you know, it's getting a little bit stressful. Can you do it? I said, I'd be happy to do it. Kind of, I'll take it and do whatever I need to do on it. And I don't like her to come ask me for money, because I used to go ask her for money. Honey, I need some money. I said, look, hey, don't ask me for money. I'm going to have an account for you. We don't have two accounts. But so she don't have to come and, can I get some money? I want to take some of my girlfriends out to eat, or we need to have a fellowship. She'll come to me for ladies' conference. Honey, you need to pay for your ladies' conference. I looked at her and said, you got money? I said, there's an account for you. Spend it. Or else, if you don't spend it, I'm going to take it all back. She goes and spends it. But set an account, whatever it might be. One person in charge of it, whoever's better. If the wife is better in finances, let her do it. If the husband's better in finances, let them do it. But one person needs to take care of it. Both husband and wife should review it, and to review all the expenses monthly to see where their money is going. To develop a budget, write down all your expenses and your income. By the way, if your expenses go out and you have more expenses than you do income, you're in big trouble. More needs to come in than go out. Okay? You've got to live by that budget. After your tithes and offering, get all the money that you have saved, that you have left, use that as your budget. Again, I had mentioned this, 10%, take it all out. My building, I take it out. My missions, I take it out. All my offering area, I take it out. That's not in my budget. I know. I don't have to pray and say, God, I don't know if I can tithe this week. Lord, help me. Give me money. No. I know I got that money to tithe. I got that money for the offering. I have to pray, God, I need money to do some other things. My kids are doing this. Help us to get this area done. I don't pray for tithes and offerings. Those are already set. Those are set. Find the debt with the lowest. By the way, what you need to do, sometimes you need to transfer, if you're in big-time credit card debt, transfer credit cards. Get a low rate and transfer it. If you have more than one, pay the lowest one off, so you can you don't have to pay that that interest off. Pay high interest in that. I'm sorry. As you pay that off, use the extra. You know, you're paying the credit card one at a time. If you're in a lot of credit card, pay that off. Use that extra that you have, put it on the next one, and then when that's done, put it on the next one. But you have to have a budget. By the way, let me say this: cook at home. Some of us eat out too much. You know, McDonald's, I know they have a value menu, but the value menu get costly. I used to go out and eat with my kids and my family. My kids used to share a 99-cent cheeseburger. Nathan has to have two or three now. I mean, the older they get, the more they eat. And you know, we're at In-N-Out. Son, what do you want? Can I get a double-double, Dad, animal style? I'm like, I'm gonna get you a cheeseburger, dude. Without the meat. But you go out easily. I go out $60, and that's $60 I could use to buy food and groceries and cook at home. Right. Number seven, I got 5 minutes. Give up your wants. Give up your wants. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we all can pass about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Give up your wants. There's a difference between wants and needs. There's a big difference. A need is something you must have. Food, clothing, shelter, those are needs. You've got to have that. You've got to have clothes. But you don't have to have Calvin Klein. You have to have a clothes, but you don't have to have Louis Vuitton. You have to have food. You don't have to have prime steak. Okay, you understand? You have to have, you know, some kind of a shelter, but you don't have to live in Beverly Hills. You get what I'm saying? There is the difference between wants and needs. As Americans, we have so much. Sometimes we think if we're not going to get the newest gadget, the newest thing, we're going to die. Go on the mission field, man. You see these people living in huts. They're fine. And I'm not telling you to go live in a hut or anything like that. Well, what I am telling you is, don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Yeah. Don't try to keep up with the Lopezes. Don't try to keep up with the Chows. Those are popular names in your respective ethnic groups. Amen. And don't try to keep up with them. Be you. If God allows you to have that, so be it. By the way, if God's blessed you and you're faithfully giving, man, have nice things. There's nothing wrong with it. Amen. But most people use people and love money. When, in a sense, as Christians, we ought to love people and use money. Give up your wants. There's necessities, but there's wants. Sacrifice the luxury so that you can have what's real. By the way, let me say this. Dads, be there for your children. If you have to work overtime to be with your child, I don't understand. If you have enough money, don't work overtime. Spend time with your family. What else you do? Number eight, have a garage sale. Say, what are you saying? Yeah. Sell some things. Yeah. Make money on things you don't need, use, or have room for. Your garage, look at it. It's full of stuff. Amen. Stuff. Sell it. Get rid of it. If you're in debt, sell everything that you have, not so you can get something better, but put it on the debt. It'll generate money to pay off debt. Go through your garage, your attic, go through your shed. Some people, I mean, you know how many storage places have opened in Long Beach? I mean, they're everywhere. I don't remember a lot of storage places when I was younger. But we have so much stuff now. Lastly, increase your income. If you're in financial debt and you need to have more income to pay off debt, increase it. Now, once all of these steps have been accomplished, if you are still in debt, you must take the extra step. Some of us, you need to get a second job. But let me say this. A second job provides extra income. All the money that comes in that from that income ought to go to your debt. Now listen to me. Listen to me about the second job. This comes at the end of the list because it should be the last option. Okay? It should be the last option. There's usually extra expense with additional jobs, like more fuel, more clothes, uniforms, and stuff like that. But a second job should be temporary, not something that you're going to be away from your home, be away from your church, be away from your ministry. It should be something temporary. And as soon as you get out of debt, you go back to your regular stuff. Let me say this. You can only do so much with a dollar, right? You can only do so much with a dollar. You say, oh, man, you're speaking about money. Money is important. And money is very, very needed. But money is not something we ought to live for. But if we as Christians are wise with the money God has given us, if we obey God's principles, God will take care of us. But the money that we have, let's be wise and let's use it for His kingdom. Some of you in here, you know what? Listen to me. You're not called to preach. You went to Bible college. You did all that. That's great. By the way, let me say this. Oh, but parents, my kid's going to be a doctor. Make sure that's God's thing for that kid and not your thing. But let's say they're a doctor. That's fine. But you make that money, you ought to honor God with that money. You ought to honor God with that money. And God is going to call some people in this church, some of you young people, to make some money, which is fine. But with that success and that money, you better make sure you don't forget who God is. Amen. And the problem is sometimes God blesses somebody with money and they think, I'm going to get bigger and better. You remember that guy in the Bible? He's going to tear down his barns and make bigger and tear this out and make bigger. And then all of a sudden, dead. Who's his stuff now? Let's put our treasures up in heaven. Let's do our best. I know our people, we're a giving church. But I think some of us, we lack the ability to give, not because we don't want to, because we're not wise with our money. Let's pray.